Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Borrowing from the late David Bowie, Eamon Ryan speaking at the McGill Summer School said last week that we'd 5 years left to save the world from irreversible climate change. But what exactly does that mean? And what can we do in those 5 years to avoid catastrophe? Cara Augustenberg is Assistant Professor of Environmental Policy at UCD, a member of the Council of State. She joins me now. Cara, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
5 years now, Bowie recorded that decades ago. So it's a mantra that's been around for a while.
It is. What Minister Ryan was saying at McGill Summer School isn't necessarily new information. It actually comes from a 2018 report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is the big UN body which compiles all our climate science. And what they found is if we need to keep the world's warming below 1.5 degrees from pre-industrial temperatures, we have to have emissions by 2030. So this is what Minister Ryan is referring to. And really what he was saying shows us how quickly time is running out in order to achieve that goal.
Have we not already hit 1.5?
Yeah, Pat, we did actually hit 1.5 this last year, and that was attributed in part to the fact that we were in an El Nino year. So we expect that we might drop slightly below 1.5 again as we come out of this El Nino year. But as we know, climate and weather are very different. So when we talk about that 1.5 degree temperature limit, we're talking about it over a longer period of time. Climate's usually about a 30-year time frame as opposed to just 1 year.
I presume when they look at 1.5, they look at different sectors. You know, what will happen in the oceans with 1.5 of an increase? What will happen in the Arctic, in the Antarctic, and so on and so forth? What are they predicting will happen if we go above 1.5?
Absolutely. I mean, the impacts of climate change are immense, and they vary regionally. And they're not just environmental impacts like ocean acidification or deoxygenation of the ocean or extreme weather or flooding, the things we talk about, but they're also socioeconomic impacts and health impacts, impacts on mortality, food production. So the impacts are really, really immense, to be honest, and very diverse depending on where we are in the world.
We know that there are challenges in this country for us to reduce our carbon emissions to levels that we promised for 2030. What do we need to do every single year? Where are we to hit those targets?
Well, in general, Pat, if you look at where emissions come from globally, 91% of our emissions are coming from fossil fuel. And in Ireland, it's about 56% of our emissions. So the biggest thing we can do is get off fossil fuels. Now, that maybe sounds easy in one sentence, but we know that fossil fuels impact everything we do. They are in our clothing in the form of plastics, in our packaging. They're part of our transport sector, our electricity sector. So it's not that easy, but certainly moving our electricity sector to a fully renewable system and moving our transport sector to a fully electrified system that can avail of that renewable energy would make really, really big changes. And of course, in Ireland, we're unique in that 37% of our emissions come from agriculture. Most developed countries don't have quite that high a proportion coming from agriculture. So there's a lot of things we need to do in the agricultural sector to address it.
But if 91% globally is from the fossil fuel emissions, and we're 56%. We are already performing better than many, many countries. And people will be wondering why I can't burn a sod of turf while they're still burning coal in China in power stations, and not alone that, continuing to build them.
Well, first of all, 56% is coming from fossil fuels in Ireland because 37% comes from agriculture. So it's just, it's really the breakdown of sector. But, you know, it's a fallacy to think that other countries aren't addressing climate change. We are seeing that in the USA and in China, emissions have peaked. China in particular is developing a lot of renewable energy. They're leading the world in solar. And in the US now, Biden enacted the Inflation Reduction Act in 2022. So they're seeing massive increases in renewable energy. Climate change is a global problem. So if every country doesn't pull their weight, we don't solve it. And here in Ireland, our per capita emissions, or our emissions per person, are equivalent to China's emissions per person now. So we're all equally contributing to this problem. We all equally need to do something to solve it.
Now, what do you do, though, about global leaders in countries like the United States, where carbon consumption is absolutely enormous? And you saw Donald Trump saying, drill, baby, drill. In other words, more domestic drilling in the United States in sensitive environments like Alaska. And then claiming that the whole EV industry, the electric car industry, is a fraud and a hoax.
Yeah, I was in the UN climate negotiations in 2016 when Donald Trump was first elected as president, and there was crying in the hallways, and everyone thought it would be the end of all international climate negotiations. But actually what we found is that most states, most businesses in the United States, most cities, they really want to continue the movement toward a decarbonized world. Because if you look at all the things that we need to do for climate change, they all have really important co-benefits when it comes to public health. When it comes to economic growth and development. If you look at Ireland alone, we're spending 1 million euro per hour on buying fossil fuels from other countries. And you can imagine if we could save that 8 trillion euro a year, how many children's hospitals and how many new schools we could build with that money. So a lot of countries can see the benefits of moving. And I think regardless of who's president, you will see that movement continue, because it's driven by businesses and investments in addition to environmental issues.
Are you despondent about our progress in terms of offshore wind? I mean, we are terribly slow.
Yeah, I'm an optimist by practice, and I think you have to be if you work in the climate sphere. I mean, I was certainly heartened by the EPA's announcement a couple weeks ago that we've reduced emissions by about 7% this year. So my hope is that we have peaked and that we are starting the downward trend toward progress. Definitely things like offshore wind are hampered by massive issues with planning, and we expect to see new planning regulations enacted in the next few months. So we're very slow, and that's very frustrating. But if I look at where we were at even 5 years ago, when, you know, climate denial was still a thing on the airwaves, and politicians were still saying we shouldn't do anything about climate change, I think we've come a really long way in a short period of time, and that gives me hope.
This is a comment from Michael Lennon in Castleknock. He says, when your contributor talk about Ireland having to reduce emissions, if we reduced our emissions, it would not have any effect. Ireland produces about 60 million tonnes of CO2, while the top five emitters create 20 billion tonnes. So you're using statistics selectively to make a point.
Yeah, well, half of the countries in the world are just like Ireland, where their emissions are less than 2%. So if every country took that attitude, we definitely wouldn't solve this problem. And that's why it's really important that we all do our part. But also, if we don't do our part, we get left behind. A lot of companies only want to invest in countries where they are showing that they're moving toward this more sustainable society. Businesses want to be able to offer public transport to their workers, and active transport options. So it's more to stay competitive, I think, in Ireland's case than almost anything else, and to save money in not purchasing fossil fuels from abroad.
Do we need to do more domestically in terms of retrofitting houses with insulation, with solar on our roofs, microgeneration of all kinds, and then better grants to make EVs affordable for more people?
Yeah, absolutely. All of it. I mean, and this is the challenge with climate change, is that it affects every sector. Every sector needs to respond to it. So it's about everybody looking at what they're doing in their businesses and in their daily lives to move off fossil fuels and try and become more sustainable.
Question from a listener. Did COVID-related travel restrictions have any impact on reducing emissions or climate change? Because we were at a standstill for a couple of years, pretty much.
Yeah, we definitely saw across the globe, both in Ireland and in every other country, you saw a little drop in emissions during those COVID years, particularly in the transport sector, where we just weren't moving around and there was a lot less things being shipped around the globe, too. Pretty much every country has rebounded from that now and is back to what they were kind of 2019 levels. Some countries like China and the U.S. are showing that they're still below 2019 levels. And so I think, yes, COVID had an effect, but that's not the kind of policy measure we want to take to reduce climate change or to reduce emissions. It would be better if we took more proactive measures in terms of shifting how we do things.
And if we don't succeed, what lies ahead?
Well, it depends on how much we warm. So if we're looking at a 1.5 degree world, which, as you said earlier, is almost inevitable at this stage. And in Ireland, you know, and globally, we're looking at 2 to 3 meters of sea level rise. But when we get up above 2 degrees, we start to look at more like 6 meters of sea level rise. And if we get up to 5 degrees, which is where we're headed, if we continue to burn fossil fuels at this rate, then we're looking at up to 20 meters of sea level rise in the long, long term. So you know, as the planet warms every tenth of a degree, the impacts get worse and worse. And we certainly know that above 2 degrees, it really becomes difficult for humanity to live the way we live now, to be able to produce enough food to feed a global population and have enough land for us to safely live on. So it's in all of our interests to try and limit warming as much as we can.
Kara Augustenberg, Assistant Professor of Environmental Policy at UCD, a member of the Council of State. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.